It's great to have you here so we can create your personal roadmap for getting started with stock investing. We're going to turn your interest in the stock market into an actual plan you can use starting right now.
Sounds good. Let's start building that roadmap.
Perfect. So from the source, where's a good place to begin?
Well, the foundation of any successful investment journey is setting clear and specific goals. It's like plotting a course on a map, you know.
I need
to know where you're headed before you even like set sail.
I like that.
Yeah.
So are we talking about short-term goals, like saving for a vacation, or long-term ones like retirement?
Both are crucial, and they actually both influence your investment strategy.
Okay.
So like a shorter time horizon might mean less risky investments, while a longer one could allow for more aggressive growth strategies.
Right.
It all depends on your personal circumstances and comfort level with risk.
That makes sense. And the source also mentions risk tolerance. How do we figure that out?
So risk tolerance is about how much fluctuation you can stomach in your investments. Are you okay with a roller coaster ride, or do you prefer a smoother journey? It ties back to your goals and time horizon. For instance, a younger investor might be comfortable with higher risk investments, while someone nearing retirement might prioritize preserving their capital.
Okay, I'm starting to see the connections.
Yeah.
So we've got goals and risk tolerance figured out. What comes next?
It's essential to take stock of your current financial situation. Do you have an emergency fund set up?
Right.
Ideally, this should cover like a few months of essential expenses.
Okay.
Just in case, you know, something unexpected happens.
That's something that the source stressed as well.
Yeah, it's crucial. Having that safety net allows you to invest with more confidence, knowing you're prepared for life's curveballs.
That makes sense. And what about debt? I imagine that plays a role too.
Absolutely. High interest debt, like credit card balances, can really drain your finances. It's generally a good idea to like tackle those before, you know, diving into the stock market.
So pay down high interest debt, build an emergency fund, then start investing. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a logical progression.
Yeah. And once you've tackled those steps, you're ready to explore the world of investment accounts.
Okay, so what are the different types and how do we choose the right one?
There are a variety of options, each with its own pros, cons, and tax implications.
Great.
For instance, you have standard brokerage accounts, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, and 401ks.
The source had a table that broke down each of those. It seems like a good reference point.
Yeah.
What should we be looking at when comparing them?
Definitely refer to that table in the source. You want to consider factors like fees, minimum investment requirements, tax advantages, and what types of investments each account allows. A standard brokerage account offers flexibility, but you'll be taxed on any gains. Retirement accounts like a Roth IRA often have tax advantages, but they come with restrictions on when you can withdraw funds.
So each one has its own trade-offs. Is there a particular type that's generally recommended for beginners?
It really depends on your individual circumstances, but many experts suggest starting with a Roth IRA if you're eligible.
Okay.
The tax-free growth potential is a significant advantage, especially for long-term investing.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's say we've chosen an account type. What's the next step?
The next step is choosing an investment platform.
Ah, yes, where the actual trading happens.
Yeah.
What are our options?
There are tons of online brokers out there, each with its own strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
You'll want to compare things like trading fees, research tools, customer support, and the overall user experience of their platform. Some even offer educational resources, which can be invaluable for new investors.
It sounds like choosing a platform that aligns with your needs and learning style is key.
It is. And don't be afraid to try out a few different platforms before settling on one. Many offer demo accounts so you can get a feel for their interface and features without risking any real money.
That's a good tip, especially for someone just starting out. So we've got our goals, risk tolerance, finances in order. We've picked an account and a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're finally ready to talk about investing, right?
Almost. We need to make sure your account is funded.
Right. How does that work?
Most platforms make it pretty easy. You can typically link your bank account and transfer funds electronically. It's a good idea to set up automatic contributions if possible. This helps you stay consistent with your investing and take advantage of dollar cost averaging.
The source explained that a bit. It's basically investing a fixed amount at regular intervals, regardless of market fluctuations.
That's right. It helps smooth out the bumps in the market and can lead to better returns over the long run.
Okay, so we've funded the account. We've set up those automatic contributions. Now, finally, let's talk about what to invest in.
For beginners, I always recommend starting with a solid foundation. index funds.
Okay.
They offer broad market exposure and instant diversification. Think of it like buying a slice of the entire stock market pie rather than betting on individual companies.
Sounds less risky.
It is, and they've historically performed very well over the long term.
Any specific index funds you'd recommend?
The S&P 500 Index Fund is a classic choice. It tracks the performance of 500 of the largest publicly traded companies in the U.S. You're essentially betting on the overall growth of the American economy.
So with index funds, I'm not picking individual stocks, just riding the wave of the market's overall performance.
That's right. And that's why they're such a great starting point. You don't need to be an expert stock picker to benefit from the market's long-term growth potential.
I like that. It feels less intimidating for someone like me who's just starting out. So we're putting a good chunk of our investment into this S&P 500 index fund. Where do we go from there?
That brings us to another crucial concept, diversification. Even with index funds, it's wise to spread your investments across different asset classes to further reduce risk.
Okay, what else should we be looking at besides stocks?
Bonds are a good counterbalance to stocks. They tend to be less volatile and can help cushion your portfolio during market downturns.
Okay, so a mix of stocks and bonds for diversification. How do we determine the right balance?
That depends on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and overall financial goals.
Okay.
A younger investor might lean more heavily towards stocks for growth, while someone nearing retirement might prefer a larger allocation to bonds for stability.
That makes sense. It all ties back to those initial factors we discussed.
Right.
This is all starting to feel like a cohesive plan.
It is. And remember, building a successful investment portfolio is an ongoing process, not a one-time event.
Right.
You'll want to periodically rebalance your portfolio as your circumstances change or as your investments perform differently over time.
So we're constantly monitoring and adjusting. It sounds like it could be a bit time-consuming.
It can be. But luckily, there are tools and resources to help simplify the process. Some investment platforms even offer automatic rebalancing features that take care of this for you.
That's helpful. I like the idea of automating as much as possible.
It's a great way to stay disciplined and ensure your portfolio stays aligned with your goals, even when life gets busy.
I'm starting to feel much more confident about this whole investing thing. It's great to have a clearer understanding of the steps involved and the resources available.
And don't forget, continuous learning is key to long-term success in the market.
Right. So we've covered the basics. Setting goals, assessing risk, creating a budget, building an emergency fund, choosing accounts and platforms, and even started building a portfolio with index funds and bonds. What else should we be focusing on?
That's a great overview. You've definitely absorbed the key takeaways from the source. Now it's time to delve a bit deeper into the world of stock picking, but let's save that for part two of our roadmap.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be back soon to tackle those individual stocks and learn how to navigate the exciting world of stock picking.
Welcome back. I'm excited to continue our discussion about stock investing.
Me too. We've covered a lot of ground already setting up that strong foundation with index funds and bonds. I'm ready to delve into the world of individual stocks.
Great. Remember, while index funds are a fantastic starting point, exploring individual stocks can add another layer of growth potential to your portfolio.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
But honestly, the thought of picking individual stocks could be a little overwhelming. Where do we even begin?
It's understandable to feel that way. There are, you know, thousands of companies listed on stock exchanges.
Right.
So it's important to have a strategy. The source suggests starting with what you know. Think about companies you admire, brands you trust, or products and services you use regularly.
Okay. That makes it a bit less daunting.
Hmm.
I could definitely think of a few companies that fit that description. But does simply liking a product make it a good investment?
Not necessarily. It's a good starting point for your research, but you need to dig deeper. Once you have a list of, you know, potential companies, you want to analyze their financial health, their competitive landscape, and their overall growth prospects.
That sounds like a lot of homework. Where do we find this information?
Fortunately, there are tons of resources available to help you.
Ooh.
Most brokerage platforms offer research tools that provide company financials, analyst reports, news articles. There are also independent financial websites and publications that offer, you know, in-depth analysis of companies and industries.
So I need to become a bit of a detective. gathering evidence and piecing together the story of each company.
Exactly. You want to understand their revenue streams, their profit margins, their debt levels, and how they're, you know, positioned within their industry.
What are some red flags to look out for? Things that might suggest a company isn't a good investment.
Declining revenues, shrinking profit margins, and high levels of debt are definitely warning signs.
Okay.
You also want to pay attention to, you know, management changes, legal issues, or any negative news that could, you know, impact the company's future prospects.
So it's not just about numbers. It's also about understanding the bigger picture and the forces that might affect a company's performance.
Precisely. Investing is as much about psychology and understanding human behavior as it is about crunching numbers.
That's interesting. It's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
Trying to anticipate how a company will perform based on all these factors.
It is. And it's a puzzle that never gets boring because the market is constantly evolving,
right,
presenting new challenges and opportunities.
I can see how that would be appealing.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who enjoys research and analysis.
Exactly. Now let's talk about a few types of stocks that might be suitable for beginners. The source mentions blue chip stocks as a good option.
Okay.
These are shares of large, well-established companies with a history of stable earnings and consistent dividend payouts.
Those sound like reliable options. Are they typically less risky than other types of stocks?
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay.
Blue chip companies tend to be more resilient during economic downturns and offer more predictability in their performance.
Any examples?
Companies like Coca-Cola, Johnson & Johnson, and Procter & Gamble are classic examples of blue chip stocks. They have strong brand recognition, global reach, and a proven track record of delivering value to shareholders.
Okay. Those are definitely names I recognize and trust.
Sure.
What about those dividend aristocrats the source mentioned? Those sound interesting.
They are.
Okay.
Dividend aristocrats are companies that have increased their dividend payouts for at least 25 consecutive years. They're essentially the cream of the crop when it comes to, you know, dividend paying stocks.
Wow, 25 years. That's impressive. It shows a commitment to rewarding their shareholders.
It does, and it suggests a certain level of financial stability and consistent profitability.
Any examples of dividend aristocrats?
Companies like 3M, Walmart, and McDonald's are well-known dividend aristocrats. They've weathered numerous economic storms and continue to deliver steady dividends to their investors.
So if I'm looking for consistent income from my investments, dividend aristocrats could be a good addition to my portfolio.
They could be, but remember, no investment is without risk.
Right.
Even the most reliable companies can face unexpected challenges.
Right.
So it's essential to stay informed and diversify your holdings.
Right. Diversification is key no matter what types of stocks I'm considering.
Absolutely. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about growth stocks. These are companies that are, you know, expected to grow at an above average rate.
Okay.
Often driven by innovation or expansion into new markets.
Those sound exciting. Potentially higher returns.
That's the appeal. But with higher growth potential comes higher risk. Growth stocks can be more volatile and susceptible to market fluctuations.
So it's a trade-off between potential reward and the risk I'm willing to take.
Exactly. And when evaluating growth stocks, it's crucial to look beyond the hype and assess the company's fundamentals. Do they have a solid business model? A competitive advantage. A clear path to profitability.
So I need to be a bit more discerning when it comes to growth stocks, not just jump on the bandwagon of the latest trendy company.
Right. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement,
yeah,
especially with the, you know, constant media coverage of certain companies.
Right.
But remember, you're making an investment, not placing a bet.
Makes sense. Any examples of growth stocks?
Companies like Tesla, Amazon, and Netflix are often categorized as growth stocks. They've disrupted their respective industries and experienced rapid expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But their stock prices can also be quite volatile.
Okay. I could see how those would fit into the growth category. So we've covered blue chip stocks, dividend aristocrats, and growth stocks.
Yeah.
Are there any other types of stocks worth mentioning?
There are many, many other categories,
okay,
but for beginners, those three provide a good foundation. As you gain experience and confidence, you can explore, you know, more niche sectors or investment strategies.
Okay. I'm feeling a bit more comfortable with the different types of stocks.
Yeah.
But How do I actually decide which specific companies to invest in? It still feels like a daunting task.
It's a process that involves both quantitative and qualitative analysis. You want to look at a company's financial statements, their industry trends, their management team, and their overall growth strategy. It's also important to consider your own, investment goals and risk tolerance.
So there's no magic formula or one-size-fits-all approach.
There isn't. Investing is an art as much as a science. It's about finding companies that align with your beliefs, your values, and your vision of the future.
That makes it sound a lot more interesting and engaging. It's not just about numbers. It's about finding companies that I believe in and that I think will make a positive impact.
Exactly. And that's what makes investing so rewarding. You're not just growing your wealth, you're participating in the growth and innovation of the companies and industries you choose to invest in.
I'm starting to get excited about this.
Yeah.
Really diving into the research and finding those companies that resonate with me.
That's the spirit. And remember, don't be afraid to seek guidance along the way. Talk to other investors.
Right.
Read books and articles and consider consulting with a financial advisor if you need, personalized advice.
This has been incredibly insightful.
Good.
I feel like I'm starting to see the stock market not as a confusing maze, but as a world of possibilities. Mm,
that's a great way to put it. And as you continue to learn and explore, you'll discover even more opportunities to grow your knowledge and your wealth.
This is all starting to feel a lot more manageable, less overwhelming than it seemed at the beginning.
That's a good sign. And remember, building a successful investment portfolio is a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
Stay patient, stay disciplined, and enjoy the journey.
This has been incredibly helpful. I'm feeling a lot more confident about navigating the world of stocks.
Fantastic. And remember, this is just the beginning of your journey. As you continue to learn and grow, you'll develop your own unique investment style and discover what works best for you.
I'm excited for what's ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners are too.
Good.
Stay tuned for the final part of our episode where we'll answer some common questions and offer some final tips for success in the stock market. We're back for the final part of our investing roadmap, ready to tackle some of the most common questions new investors have.
It's always helpful to address those lingering doubts and provide clear and concise answers.
Right. What's on your mind?
Well, the first question that always seems to come up is, how much money do I actually need to start investing?
That's a great question. A lot of people are probably wondering that.
Yeah. And it might be less than you think. The search mentioned that some online brokerage platforms have no minimum deposit requirements.
Okay.
Meaning you can, begin with a small amount and add more as you gain confidence and experience.
That's good news for those who might be hesitant to dive in with a large sum right away.
Exactly. You can dip your toes in, get comfortable with the process and gradually increase your investment as your financial situation allows.
Another common question is about stock funds. Hmm. Are those a good option for beginners?
Absolutely. Stock funds like mutual funds and ETFs are a fantastic way to gain exposure to a diversified portfolio of stocks without, picking individual companies.
So it takes the pressure off trying to pick winners in the stock market, right?
That's right. Plus, they're typically managed by professionals who research and select stocks according to the fund's investment strategy.
That sounds like a good way to tap into expertise without having to become a stock market guru overnight.
Exactly. And with a single investment in a stock fund, you can, diversify across different companies, industries, and even countries.
Speaking of diversification, how do we decide on the right mix of stocks and bonds for our portfolio?
It boils down to your individual risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. A younger investor with a longer time horizon might opt for a higher percentage of stocks for potential growth, while someone closer to retirement might prefer a larger allocation to bonds for more stability.
Makes sense. Now, let's address one of the biggest concerns for new investors. Risk. Hmm. What are the risks of investing, and how can we manage them effectively?
It's important to understand that all investments come with some level of risk.
Right.
The value of your investments can fluctuate, and there's always the possibility of losing money.
Right.
That's why we stress investing only what you can afford to lose.
Right. That advice resonated with me from the source. It's a good reminder not to put essential funds at risk.
Exactly. As for managing risk, we already talked about, you know, diversification.
Right.
Spreading your investments across different asset classes, industries, and geographic regions can help mitigate the impact of any single investment's performance on your overall portfolio.
So it's about not putting all of our eggs in one basket.
Precisely. Another way to manage risk is through time.
Okay.
The longer your investment horizon, the more opportunity you have to ride out market fluctuations and potentially recover from losses.
That reinforces the importance of long-term thinking when it comes to investing.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can always seek guidance from a financial advisor. They can help you create a personalized investment plan that aligns with your specific goals and risk tolerance.
Yeah, it's reassuring to know, especially as we navigate this new terrain. Now let's talk about another practical aspect, commissions and fees. How do those work and how can we minimize their impact?
It's crucial to understand the fees associated with investing because they can, you know, eat into your returns over time. Most brokers charge commissions for trades, which vary depending on the platform and the type of investment.
The source mentioned that many brokers now offer commission-free trading for certain investments like stocks and ETFs.
Yes, that's become increasingly common, making investing more accessible and cost-effective for everyone.
Yeah, okay.
However, it's still essential to compare fees across different platforms to ensure you're getting the best deal.
Yeah. Okay. So due diligence is key when selecting a platform. Now, a final question that might be on some listeners' minds. What if I make a mistake? What happens then?
Mistakes are part of the learning process, and everyone makes them, even seasoned investors.
Right.
The key is to learn from those mistakes and adjust your strategy accordingly.
So it's not about avoiding mistakes altogether, but about using them as opportunities to grow and refine our approach.
Exactly. And remember, you don't have to go through this journey alone. Mm-hmm. There are countless resources available to help you from books and articles to financial advisors and online communities.
That's encouraging to know. So we've covered a lot of ground on this episode. We started with setting goals and assessing risk tolerance, then moved on to building a solid foundation with index funds and bonds. We even explored the world of individual stocks, learning how to research companies and make informed decisions.
You've absorbed a lot of information, and it's clear you're ready to embark on this exciting journey of investing.
I have to say, I'm feeling much more confident and excited about the possibilities than I was at the beginning.
That's fantastic to hear.
Yeah.
Remember, investing is a lifelong journey of learning and growth. Stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, enjoy the ride.
Thank you for guiding us through this process and sharing your expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this exploration of the stock market. We hope you feel empowered to take control of your financial future and start building wealth. Until next time, happy investing.